Chapter 22 of Miss Squeers, Mrs. Squeers, Master Squeers, and Mr. Squeers, and of various matters and persons connected no less with the Squeerses than Nicholas Nickleby. When Mr. Squeers left the schoolroom for the night, he betook himself, as has been before remarked, to his own fireside, which was situated not in the room in which Nicholas had supped on the night of his arrival, but in a smaller apartment in the rear of the premises, where his lady wife, his amiable son, and accomplished daughter were in the full enjoyment of each other's society, Mrs. Squeers being engaged in the matronly pursuit of stocking darning, and the young lady and gentleman being occupied in the adjustment of some youthful differences, by means of a pugilistic contest across the table, which, on the approach of their honored parent, subsided into a noiseless exchange of kicks beneath it. And, in this place, it may be as well to apprise the reader that Miss Fanny Squeers was in her 23rd year. If there be any one grace or loveliness inseparable from that particular period of life, Miss Squeers may be presumed to have been possessed of it, as there is no reason to suppose that she was a solitary exception to an universal rule. She was not tall like her mother, but short like her father. From the former she inherited a voice of harsh quality, from the latter a remarkable expression of the right eye, something akin to having none at all. Miss Squeers had been spending a few days with a neighboring friend, and had only just returned to the parental roof. To this circumstance may be referred her having heard nothing of Nicholas, until Mr. Squeers himself now made him the subject of conversation. "Well, my dear," apostrophe said Squeers, drawing up his chair, "what do you think of him by this time?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, think of who? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mrs. Squeers, who, as she often remarked, was no grammarian, thank heaven. "Of the young man, the new teacher, who else could I mean? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh, that knuckle boy," apostrophe said Mrs. Squeers impatiently. "I hate him." Apostrophe, "what do you hate him for, my dear?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Squeers. "What's that to you?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Mrs. Squeers. "If I hate him, that's enough, ain't it?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, "quite enough for him, my dear, and a great deal too much, I dare say, if he knew it," apostrophe replied Squeers in a pacific tone. "I only ask from curiosity, my dear." Apostrophe, "well then, if you want to know," apostrophe rejoined Mrs. Squeers, "I'll tell you. Because he's a proud, haughty, consequential, turned-up-nosed peacock." Apostrophe, Mrs. Squeers, when excited, was accustomed to use strong language, and, moreover, to make use of a plurality of epithets, some of which were of a figurative kind, as the word peacock, and furthermore the allusion to Nicholas's nose, which was not intended to be taken in its literal sense, but rather to bear a latitude of construction according to the fancy of the hearers. Neither were they meant to bear reference to each other, so much as to the object on whom they were bestowed, as will be seen in the present case. A peacock with a turned-up nose, being a novelty in ornithology, and a thing not commonly seen. Hem. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Squeers, as if in mild deprecation of this outbreak. "He is cheap, my dear, the young man is very cheap." Apostrophe, "not a bit of it," apostrophe retorted Mrs. Squeers. £5 a year, apostrophe said Squeers. "What of that? It's dear if you don't want him, isn't it?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, replied his wife. "But we do want him," apostrophe urged Squeers. "I don't see that you want him any more than the dead," apostrophe said Mrs. Squeers. "Don't tell me. You can put on the cards and in the advertisements, 'Education by Mr. Wackford Squeers and Able Assistance,' without having any assistance, can't you? Isn't it done every day by all the masters about? I've no patience with you. Apostrophe, haven't you?" Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Squeers, sternly. "Now I'll tell you what, Mrs. Squeers. In this matter of having a teacher, I'll take my own way, if you please. A slave driver in the West Indies is allowed a man under him to see that his blacks don't run away or get up a rebellion. And I'll have a man under me to do the same with our blacks, till such time as little Wackford is able to take charge of the school. Apostrophe, am I to take care of the school when I grow up a man, father? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Wackford Jr., suspending, in the excess of his delight, a vicious kick which he was administering to his sister. You are, my son, apostrophe, replied Mr. Squeers, in a sentimental voice. Oh my eye, won't I give it to the boys! Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed the interesting child, grasping his father's cane. Oh, father, won't I make 'em squeak again! Apostrophe, apostrophe, it was a proud moment in Mr. Squeers' life, when he witnessed that burst of enthusiasm in his young child's mind, and saw in it a foreshadowing of his future eminence. He pressed a penny into his hand, and gave vent to his feelings, as did his exemplary wife also, in a shout of approving laughter. The infantine appeal to their common sympathies at once restored cheerfulness to the conversation, and harmony to the company. He's a nasty stuck-up monkey, that's what I consider him, apostrophe said Mrs. Squeers, reverting to Nicholas. Supposing he is, apostrophe said Squeers, he is as well stuck up in our schoolroom as anywhere else, isn't he, especially as he don't like it. Apostrophe, well, apostrophe observed Mrs. Squeers, there's something in that. I hope it'll bring his pride down, and it shall be no fault of mine if it don't. Apostrophe, now, a proud usher in a Yorkshire school was such a very extraordinary and unaccountable thing to hear of, any usher at all being a novelty, but a proud one, a being of whose existence the wildest imagination could never have dreamed that Miss Squeers, who seldom troubled herself with scholastic matters, inquired with much curiosity who this knuckle boy was, that gave himself such airs. Nickleby, apostrophe said Squeers, spelling the name according to some eccentric system which prevailed in his own mind. Your mother always calls things and people by their wrong names. Apostrophe, no matter for that, apostrophe said Mrs. Squeers. I see them with right eyes, and that's quite enough for me. I watched him when you were laying on to little Boulder this afternoon. He looked as black as thunder, all the while, and, one time, started up as if he had more than got it in his mind, to make a rush at you. I saw him, though he thought I didn't. Apostrophe, never mind that, father, apostrophe said Miss Squeers, as the head of the family, was about to reply. Who is the man? Apostrophe, why, your father has got some nonsense in his head, that he's the son of a poor gentleman, that died the other day, apostrophe said Mrs. Squeers. The son of a gentleman? Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, but I don't believe a word of it. If he's a gentleman's son at all, he's a foundling, that's my opinion. Apostrophe, Mrs. Squeers intended to say foundling, apostrophe, but, as she frequently remarked when she made any such mistake, it would be all the same 100 years hence. With which axiom of philosophy, indeed, she was in the constant habit of consoling the boys when they labored under more than ordinary ill usage. He's nothing of the kind, apostrophe said Squeers, in answer to the above remark, for his father was married to his mother years before he was born, and she is alive now. If he was, it would be no business of ours, for we make a very good friend by having him here, and if he likes to learn the boys anything besides minding them, I have no objection, I am sure. Apostrophe, I say again, I hate him worse than poison, apostrophe said Mrs. Squeers vehemently. If you dislike him, my dear, apostrophe returned Squeers, I don't know anybody who can show dislike better than you, and of course there's no occasion, with him, to take the trouble to hide it. Apostrophe, I don't intend to, I assure you, apostrophe interposed Mrs. S., that's right, apostrophe said Squeers. And if he has a touch of pride about him, as I think he has, I don't believe there's woman in all England that can bring anybody's spirit down as quick as you can, my love. Apostrophe, Mrs. Squeers chuckled vastly on the receipt of these flattering compliments, and said, she hoped she had tamed a high spirit or two in her day. It is but due to her character to say, that in conjunction with her estimable husband, she had broken many and many a one. Miss Fanny Squeers carefully treasured up this, and much more conversation on the same subject, until she retired for the night, when she questioned the hungry servant, minutely, regarding the outward appearance and demeanor of Nicholas, to which queries the girl returned such enthusiastic replies, coupled with so many laudatory remarks touching his beautiful dark eyes, and his sweet smile, and his straight legs, upon which last-named articles she laid particular stress, the general run of legs at Dotheboys Hall being crooked, that Miss Squeers was not long in arriving at the conclusion that the new usher must be a very remarkable person, or, as she herself significantly phrased it, something quite out of the common. Apostrophe. And so Miss Squeers made up her mind that she would take a personal observation of Nicholas the very next day. In pursuance of this design, the young lady watched the opportunity of her mother being engaged, and her father absent, and went accidentally into the schoolroom to get a pen mended, where, seeing nobody but Nicholas presiding over the boys, she blushed very deeply, and exhibited great confusion. I beg your pardon, apostrophe faltered Miss Squeers. I thought my father was or might be. Dear me, how very awkward. Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Squeers is out, apostrophe, said Nicholas, by no means overcome by the apparition, unexpected though it was. Do you know, will he be long, sir? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Miss Squeers, with bashful hesitation. He said about an hour, apostrophe, replied Nicholas politely, of course, but without any indication of being stricken to the heart by Miss Squeers' charms. I never knew anything happen so cross, apostrophe, exclaimed the young lady. Thank you. I am very sorry I intruded, I am sure. If I hadn't thought my father was here, I wouldn't upon any account have it as very provoking must look so very strange, apostrophe, murmured Miss Squeers, blushing once more, and glancing, from the pen in her hand, to Nicholas at his desk, and back again. If that is all you want, apostrophe, said Nicholas, pointing to the pen, and smiling, in spite of himself, at the affected embarrassment of the schoolmaster's daughter, perhaps I can supply his place. Apostrophe, Miss Squeers glanced at the door, as if dubious of the propriety of advancing any nearer to another stranger, then round the schoolroom, as though in some measure reassured by the presence of 40 boys, and finally sidled up to Nicholas, and delivered the pen into his hand, with a most winning mixture of reserve and condescension. Shall it be a hard, or a soft nib? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Nicholas, smiling to prevent himself from laughing outright. He has a beautiful smile, apostrophe, thought Miss Squeers. Which did you say? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Nicholas. Dear me, I was thinking of something else for the moment, I declare, apostrophe, replied Miss Squeers. Oh, as soft as possible, if you please. Apostrophe, with which words, Miss Squeers sighed. It might be, to give Nicholas to understand, that her heart was soft, and that the pen was wanted to match. Upon these instructions Nicholas made the pen. When he gave it to Miss Squeers dropped it, and when he stooped to pick it up, Miss Squeers stopped also, and they knocked their heads together, whereat 25 little boys laughed aloud, being positively for the first and only time that half year. Very awkward of me, apostrophe, said Nicholas, opening the door for the young lady's retreat. Not at all, sir, apostrophe, replied Miss Squeers. It was my fault. It was all my foolish good morning. Apostrophe, apostrophe, goodbye, apostrophe, said Nicholas. The next I make for you, I hope will be made less clumsily. Take care. You are biting the nib off now. Apostrophe, really, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers. So embarrassing that I scarcely know what I very sorry to give you so much trouble. Apostrophe, not the least trouble in the world, apostrophe, replied Nicholas, closing the schoolroom door. I never saw such legs in the whole course of my life. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Miss Squeers, as she walked away. In fact, Miss Squeers was in love with Nicholas Nickleby. To account for the rapidity with which this young lady had conceived a passion for Nicholas, it may be necessary to state that the friend from whom she had so recently returned was a miller's daughter of only 18, who had contracted herself unto the son of a small corn factor resident in the nearest market town. Miss Squeers and the miller's daughter, being fast friends, had covenanted together some 2 years before, according to a custom prevalent among young ladies, that whoever was first engaged to be married should straightway confide the mighty secret to the bosom of the other, before communicating it to any living soul, and bespeak her as bridesmaid without loss of time. In fulfillment of which pledge, the miller's daughter, when her engagement was formed, came out express, at 11 o'clock at night, as the corn factor's son made an offer of his hand, and hard at 10:25 by the Dutch clock in the kitchen, and rushed into Miss Squeers' bedroom with the gratifying intelligence. Now, Miss Squeers, being 5 years older, and out of her teens, which is also a great matter, had, since, been more than commonly anxious to return the compliment, and possess her friend with a similar secret, but, either in consequence of finding it hard to please herself, or harder still to please anybody else, had never had an opportunity so to do, inasmuch as she had no such secret to disclose. The little interview with Nicholas had no sooner passed, as above described, however, than Miss Squeers, putting on her bonnet, made her way, with great precipitation, to her friend's house, and, upon a solemn renewal of divers old vows of secrecy, revealed how that she was. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.